From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Okay, sorry. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Governor Mike Dunleavy has quietly appointed an unknown real estate executive to an agency tasked with regulating commercial fishing permits. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the incoming commissioner will help decide who gets access to the exclusive rights to fish in state waters.
The Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission is obscure to many Alaskans, but for those whose livelihoods are tied to fish, it's a household name. The agency was created in the 1970s after Alaska voters amended the state constitution to allow limits on the number of people allowed to fish, all for the sake of conservation. Fishermen had to show a history of their catch in a particular area to get rights to fish. Attorney and former lobbyist Fate Putman was appointed in 2017 to the commission by Governor Walker.
The commission spent many years going through those applications, sorting through the permits, seeing which fishermen had a history of fishing in the fishery and were economically dependent on the fishery, and making decisions about which people received a transferable permit, a non-transferable permit, and there are unfortunately people who did not receive permits.
That work of documenting who did and didn't get fishing rights took decades, but it's finally done. Over the past few years, the commission has resolved all but one dispute over a shrimp pot fishery in Southeast. And the commission hasn't created a new limited entry fishery since 2004. But Putman says there's still work to be done.
The biggest issue that CFEC is facing now is the optimum number question. So we issue permits to everybody who has a history of fishing in a fishery based on their past participation. But that isn't necessarily the optimum number. That's the maximum number. The optimum number may be lower or higher than that.
Putman's term expires in March, and so his successor, Melvin Smith, will likely take up that question. Until recently, Smith worked for the Anchorage Real Estate Office of a regional Native corporation. He's a low-key appointment. Industry representatives say they don't know him. Records show Smith has lived in False Pass, Wasilla, and most recently Anchorage. His most recent commercial fishing permit was active in 2004. He's also held permits for land-based set nets in the Alaska Peninsula, purse seining, and some longlining. His work email at Aleut Corporation bounced back, saying he'd left the Native Corporation earlier this month. Reach for comment, the governor's office only said that Dunleavy appointed Smith because he believes he's the best candidate. Fish politicos like former lobbyist Bob Thorstenson says it's longtime practice for someone close or loyal to the governor's inner circle to be tapped for the commissioner jobs, which come with six-figure salaries.
Whoever gets that job, it's usually a pretty good friend of the governor's.
Thorstenson agrees with Putman that the commission's next task is to right-size the number of permits in limited entry fisheries and create new ones.
There's going to be a lot of buybacks and a lot of different types of moves. And there's moves that need to be made for commercial fisheries. The people that say CFEC's job's done just because we've already established these limited fisheries, those people just don't have a lot of breadth or vision or depth, because CFEC's job is far from done.
CFEC has been under pressure since a scathing 2015 audit that found inefficiencies, and critics argue that the commission has worked itself out of a job. That same year as the audit, lawmakers proposed a bill to merge the commission into the Department of Fish and Game. A compromise reduced the number of commissioners and slightly reduced their salaries. Melvin Smith may be unknown in fishing circles, but industry figures will soon be putting a face to the name. He'll be addressing the United Fishermen of Alaska during this week's annual meeting. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
Rainmaker, 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 rainmaker.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
We are a nation of laws, and laws are made of words. The Magnuson-Stevens Act is the legal framework that governs how the regional fishery management councils regulate the fisheries of the United States. And a simple phrase of just five words would be edited out of proposed versions of a reauthorized MSA. How much can five words matter? David Witherell is the executive director of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. I listened in on a legislative update he recently gave to their esteemed members. I had some questions.
You know, one thing I did notice that you did in particular point out was the potential for changing some language that's common in pretty much all of the fisheries management regulation, which in particular to the extent practicable.
Mm-hmm. The Magnuson-Stevens Act requires that the councils reduce bycatch to the extent practicable. It also requires that agencies minimize the impacts on essential fish habitat to the extent practicable. And when you take into account practicability, that implies that there are trade-offs, social and economic trade-offs. So if you take away, say, for example, reducing bycatch to the extent practicable, one interpretation of that might be you need to reduce bycatch to zero. Now, every fishery that I'm aware of in this country has bycatch. So without a yardstick of extent practicable where we can take into account economic and social trade-offs, I'm not sure where we would land up. Where is the measure of how far to reduce bycatch, for example? Or how far to minimize the impacts on essential fish habitat.
Right. Are you saying that they've basically taken away sort of a balance where you're saying, okay, we're going to balance the what we want to do with the social and economic impacts, and you're replacing that with just a simple formula where the upper level or lower level has yet to be determined?
Exactly. I think that those levels would be in the eye of every beholder. And it would certainly expose any council action to litigation by someone else that had a different idea of what minimize meant. You know, there's essential fish habitat for some life stage, for example, of some species, wherever there's water, basically. And so if you want to minimize the effect on essential fish habitat without any extent practicable, well, you could certainly minimize it by not having any fishing effort.
Is there any way that a standard that wouldn't be constantly subject to reinterpretation?
Terry, I think that if one of these pieces of legislation passed with the language proposed, then NOAA fisheries would need to rewrite their guidelines that guide the councils on evaluating what impacts are and what level is acceptable. And I think they'll be challenged with coming up with a proper threshold. or a threshold that would be litigation resistant, if you will.
Right.
One could certainly make an argument that if you wanted to minimize the effects on essential fish habitat and you wanted to minimize bycatch, then you wouldn't allow any fishing. I think that's unreasonable. That's why the minimize to the extent practical language is in the Act, from my understanding, is that there are trade-offs and fishing should be allowed to some extent as long as those impacts are minimized and don't cause any long-term harm to the resources or habitat.
Well, that's the report for this week. Thanks very much to my pal, Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick, and to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council's David Witherell for answering my phone call. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, to the extent practicable.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
For the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.